Well, blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We are in the 46th Psalm, isn't that right? Yeah, we're Psalm 46. Again, another Psalm that certain portions of it will you'll be familiar with. You will have heard it before. Many a song been written with these Psalms right here, particularly this one. It has a title to it, and here's what the title. It says, "To the choir master," just like we've seen before, "to the chief musician of the sons of Korah." So it's one of the sons of Korah Psalms. "According to Alamoth," A-L-A-M-O-T-H, Alamoth, "a song." And as the case has been in most of these terms, we're not quite sure what it means, Alamoth. It carries the idea really of a higher pitch, a higher timbre. Some believe if it's a singing voice, it'll be like women's voices, particularly a soprano voice. A higher voice is being referenced here. I've seen others who take it from an instrumental point of view. There's a higher instrumental thing, such as a harp. Could be both, okay? And the idea being that it's a higher pitched song. So the ladies either sang it, or the harp was accompanying it, or maybe ladies singing with a harp accompaniment, okay? Verse 1 says this, "God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble." So from the very beginning, the psalmist is declaring that our strength, our refuge, is in God and in God alone. Matter of fact, I just came out of the Bible study where we were talking about that exact idea in dealing with current issues of the day, things that are going on, and things that we can see coming in the near future. I mean, literally things that are happening right now. You can see things being fulfilled. You can see things happening, which would never have been thought of 30 and 40 years ago, but you see it happening now. What are we to do? We're to remember this truth right here. We're to rest in the Lord. We're to trust in the Lord. And we are to know that He is our refuge. He is our strength. And He is our very present. What does that mean? It means sufficient. He is with us. He hasn't abandoned us. He is more than sufficient. He is that sufficient help in trouble. So we see that trouble will come. We know that. There will be times of trouble. But God is our refuge. God is our strength. He is with us in the midst of the trouble. Then verse 2 says this, "Therefore." Well, therefore what? Well, in light of what was said in the first verse, in light of the fact that God is our refuge and strength and our very present help in trouble, in light of that, we will not fear. And folks, this is, you determine this, okay? You can choose whether to fear or not to fear. You can go along with it, or you can succumb to it, okay? But you don't need to. You choose fear, or you choose faith. Psalmist says, "Therefore, in light of this, we will not fear, though," and then he starts talking about some things that even though these things may happen, we're not going to fear. Listen to these things. "Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling." Selah. Yeah, the psalmist throws a Selah in here. In other words, hey, think about this, meditate upon this, reflect upon this. May even mean, hey, take a ride on that harp you're doing right there. You know, play me a little instrumental solo on that thing. But notice what he's saying. He says, we're not going to fear even when these things happen. Now, these are things that we see in the natural, that the earth gives way and the earth changes. You know, you have earthquakes. That the mountains totter into the heart of the sea, into the midst of the sea. Yeah, we're not to fear. We're not to fear. Though the waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at the swelling of the waters. And these are all things that will happen to some degree in the natural. But I tell you what, when I was reading this earlier, I just kept thinking on it. A lot of this is very reflective of language that you find in the book of Revelation. Okay? And with end time things, about how the earth gives way, about how the mountains fall into the sea and are no more. And particularly that little phrase, though its waters roar and foam. I think it may be in one of the Gospels, too. I don't remember off the top of my head. But there's a part of a verse, just a part of a verse, that speaks to how man will be amazed at the roaring and the foaming and how the seas are acting and reacting to all that is happening in the last days, that it would be extremely frightening. And what are we told? Don't fear. Don't fear. And if the mountains tremble at its swelling, that the mountains are trembling at the swelling of the waters. Yeah, that's the picture of this is something far more serious than what we encounter on just a regular day-by-day basis. What are we told to do? Therefore, we will not fear. How are we empowered to not fear? Because we know that God is our refuge and our strength. We know that He is a very present help in trouble. He will help in trouble. So in contrast to that, the psalmist gives this in verse 4. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of God. So rather than the chaos that we see with the waters foaming and the mountains trembling and all these things happen, now the psalmist is saying there's a river, and this river has stream, and the streams in this river make glad the city of God. Okay? The city of God, the very dwelling place of God. Verse 5, God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. So God is in the midst of His city, in the midst of His holy habitation. He's going to help. Okay? He's not going to abandon. Okay, He's going to be there when the morning dawns, help you make it through the night, in other words. And this city will not be moved. Verse 6, the nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters His voice, the earth melts. Yeah, now we're seeing some real things that are yet to come in the future. Eschatological kind of things, end time kind of things, of how the nations will rage, the kingdoms will totter. What is that word for nations? Let me check that real quick. I just had a thought. Yeah. That's what I thought. I know in the Greek it sort of means this. You'll see nations and you'll see kingdom. In the Greek particularly, but even here in the Hebrew, that word nations can be translated as descendants, the people of. So the idea being that nations are a genealogical type of thing, okay? And it refers to people groups. The kingdoms are what we call nations, governmental entities, that type of thing. The nations are going to rage. And you say, well, that's happening now. Oh, yeah, it's going to happen even more. And some of the most foolish ways, I mean, we had a super foolish one that happened yesterday. People are raging because of a particular thing, and an entire college campus is closed down because a group is protesting. They just cancel college. They just cancel the whole thing. That's nothing compared to what's going to come. The nations will rage. There will be so much ethnic hatred. Ethnic hatred, okay? The kingdoms, they're going to totter. They're going to collapse. The Lord is going to utter His voice, and the earth is melting. Verse 7, last one for today. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Yeah, Selah again. So he's saying, hey, God hasn't abandoned us. The Lord of hosts, and that phrase is the picture of God leading His army, leading the heavenly armies. The Lord of hosts is with us. He's with us, folks. He hasn't forsaken us. He hasn't abandoned us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, is our stronghold, is our refuge. Folks, I keep telling you, we're seeing it. If you have eyes to see, you can see it. We're entering days where we must know this and must live in this way. Well, again, I'm Dale. Thank you for your time. I'll see you in the next episode. Goodbye.